Today is the last day to bid at BigBidSTL.com, 101 ESPN's online auction. They have a new Kawasaki Z125 Pro SE motorcycle that you can bid on. Also, golf memberships and great flooring from our friends at Seal Tech Surface Coatings. Check out the website, BigBidSTL.com, and remember that the bidding ends tonight, so get to BigBidSTL.com.
I had no idea we were going to draft Blaine Gabbert. All right, did your jaw just drop?
Yeah, it did. Did you sense the silence?
Okay, no idea. In fact, I left to go get something to eat because our pick wasn't for much longer in the draft.
You're supposed to pick 16th. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I go, and then I'm sitting there filling my plate, thinking, oh, great, we got a couple more hours before we pick, or, hour and a half, whatever it might be. And I see the Jaguars are on the clock, and I'm like, what the blank is going on? I walk into the draft room, and I could see it on the faces of the people. They knew, all right, how uncomfortable that was, how wrong that was. My son Luke, who we've talked about quite a bit, and I had ranked all the quarterbacks, and we liked Blaine. Both of us kind of had the same feel. We liked him. He was in the Nick Foles range, like third, fourth round. He wasn't a first round. He wasn't a guy to trade your draft and go up to get him at number 9.
504, your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. BT is out today. Big Sizz, Ronge, and Randy with you. And Take It or Leave It coming up in a moment. Send in your text to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. Before we get to Teoli, in 2011, the Jacksonville Jaguars were looking for a quarterback. And as we know, they landed Missouri's Blaine Gabbert. On draft day, the Jags traded up 6 spots to draft Gabbert with the 10th overall pick. But this week, we learned his coach wasn't around and had no idea the pick was even happening. Jack Del Rio joined ESPN 690 in Jacksonville yesterday to talk about how that day went down. Wow.
Oops. That didn't work out.
When you know it's over.
Yeah, that's...
Or 10, by the way. You went 10th, I think.
Look, you can, if you believe you found your guy, when it comes to the quarterback in the NFL, you go get him.
If your coach is on board.
You do whatever you got to do. But make sure you talk to your head coach.
Yeah, it's bad. Ronge, today the NCAA Division I Council approved updated guidelines that will make it harder, more difficult for football and basketball players to qualify for immediate eligibility when they transfer to another school. Take it or leave it, this is the exact opposite of what the NCAA should be doing.
I will take it. I will take it. And I know you're going to have every coach in the land disagree with me on that. And anybody who believes otherwise, but I know this is an argument you hear all the time, but I think it's the number one argument, and I think it's the one that's the most relevant. If a coach can leave wherever he wants,
and
whenever he wants to, and not have to sit out a year, tell me why a player should not be able to do the exact same thing.
Bingo, he should.
There's no good reason that a player should not be allowed to.
I'm with you. It's unreal what the NCAA does.
If a coach can do it, players should be able to do the exact same thing. Randy, tonight, the Stanley Cup is going to be in attendance along with Craig Berube, Ryan O'Reilly at Busch Stadium when the Cardinals will play against the Oakland A's. We know the Blues won the Cup. We know they've won a championship. We're still celebrating that, I think, here in St. Louis. We're hoping the Cardinals do the same. We're hoping the Cardinals turn it around in the middle of the season, much like the Blues did. Take it or leave it, before July is over, the Cardinals will have spent at least one day in first place.
Leave it. I don't see it happening.
I'm going to leave it, too. I think this team, if it goes to the playoffs, it's going to be a wild card team.
I would agree with that.
They're a half game out right now, 2.5 out from the NL Central. Half game back in the wild card race. I don't think this team is ever going to spend time in first place this year.
And if you look at the components of the Brewers, of the Cardinals, of the Cubs, even of the Reds to an extent, the Cardinals do not have as many good elements as Milwaukee and Chicago do. And Cincinnati is right there. They need to actually score more runs. Scooter Jeanette back, that'll help them. But they upgraded their starting pitching. They have some offense. Their bullpen is okay. They have a lot of good elements, too. And I think the Cardinals right now, in terms of the quality of the ball club, might be closer to Cincinnati than they are to Milwaukee and Chicago.
And Cincinnati is an odd club. Their run differential this year, plus 44.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to see a team in last place in a division that's plus 44 in run differential. That does. If you look at the others, the other last place teams in all the other divisions, Orioles are minus 186, Royals are minus 60, Mariners minus 58, Marlins minus 75, the Giants minus 90.
Wow. Amazing.
The Reds are plus 44 and they're in last place right now.
Big Sis, what do you have for us?
Take it or leave it. When it's all said and done, the Ryan O'Reilly deal will be viewed much better than Goldschmidt's.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Take it. It already has.
Yeah. 5 years younger and you won a cup.
Take it or leave it. This is the end of Jordan Hicks as we know it.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I will take it, too. There's not going to be any more 104, 105 coming out of Jordan Hicks when he comes back.
Kevin Durant denied his player option, or demied, I guess, his player option.
Demis, okay. According to you.
He denied it, though. Take it or leave it, he does not win another title.
Ooh, good one. I'm going to take that.
Yeah, let's see. He's looking at Knicks.
He's looking at his Achilles.
Off. Well, he's looking at his Achilles. But it'll be Nets. I think the teams that are going to be up for him, Nets, Clippers, Knicks. Could still be, I guess, Golden State. Could be, mm-hmm. Right? I can't see the Knicks ever winning. You know, we joke about the Blues. It's never going to happen for them, and then it did. I can't even imagine the Knicks in a surprise.
At least the Blues had competent ownership, and they made smart moves. The Knicks don't have competent ownership that is capable of making smart moves. Yeah. James Dolan is a dolt.
He is arguably the worst owner in sports. With Jeffrey Loria out of the picture,
mm-hmm.
I think maybe firmly he's there.
In this town, are you sure? Kroenke?
Nah, he's just the biggest a-hole in sports ownership, maybe. Maybe. Although, you got a lot of people in the running on that one. A lot of people in that team photo.
There's some pretty bad owners.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it. If the Cardinals don't make the postseason, there is a major firing or major change in the front office.
Take it.
I'll take it, too. That's 4 years, then, mm-hmm. missing out. Look, you set the expectation. You said we're not rebuilding, and somebody made that point via the text line earlier. When you are firmly against the idea of rebuilding, you're telling us you're going for it. So if you're going for it, you better put a team out there that resembles a team that's going for it. And the Cardinals haven't done it. So I will take that.
By the way, worst owner, James Dolan or Peter Angelos?
James Dolan.
Wow.
I mean, Baltimore's a
dumpster fire.
Yeah, but the Knicks should not be. Baltimore, at least you can make the excuse that it's smaller market.
Mm-hmm.
When you're the Knicks.
And you're always bad.
That's inexcusable.
Yep.
So we've talked, our last one here, we've talked about how the Blues kind of have to retire the Gloria thing after this year. Take it or leave it, you will make an exception for this.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, take it.
Not every day, but occasionally.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that should never die.
No.
50 years from now, never. I want to be hearing that for the rest of my life. I told you I wake up sometimes, and during the playoff run, I was hearing, Gloria when I would wake up. It was in my head.
Mm-hmm.
After the parade, for a few days, I would wake up and hear Brett Hull singing it.
That's awesome.
No joke.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line 65780. Next up, another rough outing for Jack Flaherty last night. We are going to talk about what ails the Cardinals next with Ricky Horton of FS Midwest in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Welcome back to the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. BT is out today with his duties for Fox Sports Midwest, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker, and we head now to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line, and Rick Horton will have the call with Dan McLaughlin tonight on FS as the Cardinals take on the Oakland Athletics in the second of a two-game series. Rick Horton, how are you doing today?
I'm doing terrific. It's going to be a fun night tonight. We're actually celebrating the Blues once again at the ballpark, Blues night, and you know that celebration continues as it should. Randy, it's been a blast, and now we just have to get the Cardinals working on all cylinders.
Rick, do you think that a team that has ability can be fired up by another team winning in a town?
You know, I actually thought that would be the case. I hope that would be the case. Yeah, I think sometimes you just kind of get the little wake up call, and you know the game. Being an athlete, there's so much about the physical stuff that you do and the preparation, et cetera. But, you know, it's such a mental grind and a mental challenge to be kind of at your best every single day. And sometimes, you know, a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of maybe vision about how things could be sometimes ignites a team. And, you know, we'll just have to wait and see if that happens or not. The Cardinals, you know, haven't been ignited yet, but they're right around 500, just like the rest of the division.
Well, just so you know, Rick, you are totally welcome to kiss the cup if you want to now, because they've won it. Nobody's going to get mad at you.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, I might just do that, and I'm hoping for the opportunity for us to have it up in our booth. We'll have to see how that goes. I'm not in charge of that. But what, you know, I actually feel a little guilty. I honestly do, because I think about the hockey fans for 30, 40 years, and I'm kind of a tag-along fan the last five or six, let's say, and I loved it, and I loved what happened this year, but I feel like I don't really deserve to be next to the cup like so many avid fans do, but I guess that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, Rick, obviously the Cardinals are focused on their own job because they're trying to win ball games, they're trying to prepare for games. We did see Yachty attend a lot of Blues games. Adam Wainwright was at them. I know Dan McLaughlin was paying attention up in the booth as much as he could while the Blues were on their run. But team-wide, how much did the Cardinals take notice of what the Blues were doing while they were doing it?
Well, I think it grew day by day, and I think the influence of Waino and Yachty helped create that. I mean, there were several days where, you know, those guys were, you know, locked in to one of the playoff games, and you know, you can't help but be affected by it. You know, Marcelo Zuna says, "I don't know anything about hockey, but I love Yachty." So, I mean, that's kind of how that works. And so I think as it went along, you know, when I was sitting next to Dan, which I actually believe, and you guys know him, just an emotional Blues fan for many, many reasons, family reasons, history reasons. And, of course, he worked with the Blues for so many years, helping with the broadcast. But I got to watch the last bit with him in the clubhouse in Miami, and it was just a great time, just he and I together. But in the clubhouse right next to us, all the players were screaming, "Let's go Blues." And so this was a team thing, and pretty fun to watch.
Ricky Horton with us on 101 ESPN. Ricky, when I covered your teams, and you came up the year after I started in radio, and I covered the teams into the 90s, if a team was struggling and I was around it every day, I kind of had a reason. I knew why it was struggling. I'm not around this team every day, and I see the talent. I know these guys can play, but I don't know why they're struggling. So I'll ask you, because you're around them every day.
Well, I think there's a couple whys. I think one is you look at every single player, and they're not playing as well as they have played in their career. So the career batting averages are lower, the ERAs are higher. So it's really just kind of everybody underperforming. And that's not, you know, that's not a slap. It's just, look, we know they're better, and they just haven't been. So that's one thing. I think secondarily, just the timing has been bad on the offensive side. You know, the batting average, home runs, all that's not so bad. But it's just, they're just not hitting well enough with runners in scoring position. They're not bunching the hits. Their slugging percentage, I actually heard on ESPN radio today that the numbers are for the slugging percentage with runners in scoring position is next to last in the National League. Mm. Only the Marlins have a lower number there. And that's why. You can't, if you're not getting big hits, you're not getting big damage hits with guys on base, you're not going to win games.
How much of it is, and I know fans, every time a team slumps, especially when it comes to the hitting, we always look for one singular reason that it's happening, and maybe if that particular thing gets addressed, then it's all going to improve. So naturally, the hitting coach becomes the focus of this. And I have fought this battle many, many times with baseball fans for a long time. I don't know how much a hitting coach can do, but what can he do in this moment to help this team get better?
Well, I think everything that you said is 100% spot on. You know, it's not like they're 12 years old. I mean, they've had, you know, 30 hitting coaches by the time they get to this level. They know their themselves, and the hitting coach's job at the big league level is to understand what a guy does well and then help correct him. Now, the fact that he's new may be a negative there. I mean, what, you know, not seeing Matt Carpenter play for 5 years, you know, maybe I can't figure out what is it, what's that little thing for him that he needs to correct, or whoever it might be, Dexter Fowler or Paul DeJong or Yachty, whoever. But so that's kind of a thing. But the point is, you know, you can look at this team on paper and say the general manager put a team together that should win, and the coaches are providing opportunities. The players just have to find that thing. And the thing is different for each player, as you mentioned. It's not a, hey, we need to start hitting the ball to right. Well, some of them got to start pulling the ball. Some of them got to start being more selective. I mean, it's just, you know, it's an individualistic thing. It's like telling all the pitchers they have to start doing the same thing. Well, they don't. They all have different issues. It's like that old story with the Dutch boy with the fingers in the dike. You know, you got one hole and then another one and another one. You just, that's the job of a hitting coach, just trying to figure out how to plug those holes and help people be successful. And it's not a simple task.
Ricky Horton with us. He will be on the air with Dan McLaughlin tonight as the Cards take on the A's in the second game of a two-game series. Ricky, tonight Tommy Edman gets the start at third. He'll lead off, and I know a lot of Cardinal fans and people around the ball club were really intrigued by Tommy Edman during spring training. What should we expect tonight?
Well, he's a high-energy guy. That's what he was in spring training. Of course, we always say, you know, spring training can be fool's gold because, you know, once the season starts, who knows? But he's just kept hitting. He kept hitting at AAA. He's hit when he's had opportunities here. He runs well. Here's what I like about Tommy Edman the best. He's going to play third base today and lead off, but it doesn't mean he has to be a third baseman. I mean, you can find a spot in the lineup for him every day by just rotating him around the field. The Cardinals have done that with players in the past. They did that with Oquendo, of course, and several since then. But he could be the real super utility guy because he's such a good defender in the outfield, in the infield. I mean, you can kind of mix and match with him. So it's not like he has to necessarily replace somebody. But I think Cardinal fans, and I would throw myself in this mix, are pretty excited that he's going to get a start, and I think we want to see more of Tommy Edman. You know, at this point, you got to keep trying something until you find that right formula.
Otherwise, you did mention it a moment ago, Rick, in that the slugging percentage for this team is not very good with when they've got runners in scoring position. Overall, it's not right. Been where it needs to be. Right. That's obvious. A big part of that is the home run ball. They just haven't done it enough this year. And a massive part of that is Paul Goldschmidt. He was expected to bring some power to this lineup. Are there any signs when you watch him play and you watch him at the plate that maybe he's on the verge of snapping out of it?
I thought I saw that in Chicago. He had a game the last day in Chicago, which was the last road trip, actually the first city we went to, where he had four good at-bats in a row. And I thought, boy, this is different Paul Goldschmidt. But I think he's gotten late again. I mean, just to me, he's just late, and I feel that way about Carpenter too. The ball's getting past them, and they're not squaring it up, and basically the pitcher's just kind of eating them up is what it looks like. And it's like, boy, these guys are too good for that to happen. So, you know, that's being in between. That's timing. It's, you know, it's not laying off the breaking pitch. It's being late on the fastball. It's a common thing that hitters go through. But I don't see now what I saw in Chicago, and I'm just hoping that'll happen. And, you know, when you talk about power numbers, you have to include doubles in that, too. His doubles are way down for what you think Paul Goldschmidt's going to do. I think that's going to happen at some point. He doesn't get to be a perennial MVP candidate conversation guy, and, you know, he just didn't fall out of bed and forget how to hit. I mean, it's going to happen, but he's just not found his way yet. And let's hope the month of July and August and beyond are Paul Goldschmidt months. We're talking about the player of the month in one of those months, and he gets those numbers back to where they should be.
Ricky Horton with us on 101 ESPN. Ricky, when this team has a two-game losing streak like this, and they've had a lot of these, is there an emotional bell cow that the other players look to? Okay, where do we go from here? That guy that is the leader of this group?
You know, I don't know who that is right now. I think that's a really good question. You know, you look at this team, there are no all-star caliber players on this team. Maybe Ozuna, maybe DeJong. I'm just saying obvious all-star guys. And so it's not like there's a guy that you're rallying around that's saying, hey, let's follow him. And I think the same is true in the pitching staff. Now, Wainwright certainly is the guy that has the, you know, he has the kind of the class to do that, the professionalism to do that. But, you know, Waino shouldn't be expected to be the ace of this team anymore. He should be a contributor. So, you know, I mean, if Waino kind of has one of those goofy, crazy, great Waino days, then maybe that's one of those people you're talking about. But Jack Flaherty needs to be better. Miles Michaelis is good, and he can be better. And Michael Wacha certainly can be better. And we're missing, of course, Alex Reyes not being who we thought he'd be. And you look at those four guys, that's enough reason to say that's why the Cardinals are only a couple of games over 500 and not 8-10.
It's interesting. I go back in baseball, and that Twins team that the Cardinals played in 87, they traded for Don Baylor. Reggie Jackson would get traded at a deadline, well, a couple of times for leadership. I think baseball has changed in that way. I don't think that there's that clear-cut leader that you say, okay, let's go out and get this guy, put him into our club. Will Clark in 2000 here, where you say, okay, we'll put him into our clubhouse, and he's going to take charge somewhat.
Yeah, the leadership of players has really diminished in baseball, and for several reasons. I think one is economic. They can't afford to keep those guys around after they played 15 years. They have to pay them too much, so they just get somebody, pay them the minimum, and that. Well, that's part of it. I think secondarily, there's just this thought that we need production out of these guys when they're young, so we don't want to spend a lot of time babying them and not babying them, but you know, showing them the hard way by the veteran players knocking them down and saying, hey, look, you need to follow these guys. They're not either on the bench or on the team anymore. Or the idea is, if you're the young player, now you're the front of, you know, you're Bryce Harper, you're the leader of the team. You might be 23, but you're the leader. And that's not fair to Bryce Harper or anybody like that. And it certainly isn't as effective as having an older player who's been there, done that, and can give some perspective to it. But baseball has moved away from kind of the veteran player kind of having his thumb on the younger player. They just don't really like it. They don't allow it. And I'm not so sure it's a good thing.
So with Jordan Hicks out now for a while for the Cardinals and Carlos Martinez, the nominal closer, how do you see the bullpen working out as the season progresses here? Because this certainly is not the plan, and injuries happen. You have to account for those. So, you know, every team knows they're going to happen. But now that he's down for a considerable amount of time, how do you see things shaking out for them?
Well, it's a challenge. I think it's really a punch in the gut for the Cardinals to lose Jordan Hicks, and that's certainly not an easy thing to just flat out replace. I had hoped that by the time we were talking about the second half of the season with Carlos Martinez, we'd at least been talking about him maybe being stretched out to be in the rotation. I still had hopes for that. So the fact that he has to be the closer, I think, is the right choice, but it kind of a bit of a bummer too, because again, he had the ability to maybe fix some of the problems in the rotation. So everybody's just going to have to be better. Brebbia has shown some signs of wearing out a little bit, and John Gant maybe needs some rest too. But he and those two, Gallegos, have been, they're just going to have to get better and be used more often and be used late in games. And I think Andrew Miller would be another one. I mean, he's going to have five good games in a row, not two good ones and a bad one. And that's, if you go out and find somebody, who are you going to find? Alex Reyes, Mike Myers, maybe those guys are kind of waiting in the wings to help. Who knows? And maybe there's somebody else in the minors that can help. But, fixing the bullpen is always an ongoing dilemma. And Jordan Hicks being out is, it's not going to be fixed immediately. If it was that easy to fix and Jordan Hicks, you wouldn't have needed him in the first place. But you did need him. And so it's going to be a dilemma going forward.
Ricky, before we let you go, you've had major shoulder surgery, rotator cuff last year, and then before this season, knee surgery. What was the harder rehab for you?
Well, the harder rehab was been my knee, because it's in the time where I can't play golf in the summer. the rotator cuff was in the winter, and by the time I got around to the season, I could kind of get it done. But the knee has been a long process. I couldn't run, couldn't play golf. But it's just kind of the sign of the age, isn't it, Randy? That these things happen. But it's not going to deter me from getting back out and working out when I'm ready, and I'm getting close.
Love to hear it. We always love hearing you on the games, and you do great work. Thanks, as always, for your time, Rick.
Always good to be with you guys.
That's our friend Rick Horton from FS Midwest. He and Dan have the call tonight between the Cardinals and the A's. All right, it's time to answer your questions. Whatever questions you have, send them into the Hot Shots text line, 65780. The Sports Six Pack is coming your way on 101 ESPN. We appreciate your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. And with your questions for us, here is Big Sizz.
So the Blues this morning introduced Craig Berube as the next head coach. Plenty of coaches have come and gone, obviously. Which coach were you most satisfied with when they hired him, announced it?
You know, this is going to sound crazy, but it was Keenan. He had just won the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. He had done a really good job with Chicago and Philadelphia. He had taken the Hawks to the Stanley Cup Finals. And I thought that was the final piece of the puzzle. With everything the Blues had done, I thought Keenan was the guy. Obviously, it didn't work out that way. But on the day that he was hired, that was probably my favorite one.
Didn't think he was going to make all those trades.
No.
Yeah, and we're just talking about Blues hockey, right? We're not talking about the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's got to be mine, too. I mean, that was a big deal.
He was
the
number one guy. He'd won the cup a month before.
Right. He just didn't think he was going to clean house.
Yeah.
What was it like?
It was going to happen.
What was it like with Quenneville?
Well, Q had been an assistant, and the Blues did a major search for him, but nobody knew what to expect. And he was an assistant with Colorado, and they hired him. He'd never been a head coach before. So I didn't know what to expect from him, and he wound up being great.
And when it comes to the Cardinals, it's easy. It's Tony.
Yep. Although Whitey
was exciting.
Whitey was pretty good, too.
I liked Whitey. And Tony took a lot of heat early on because he wasn't Whitey Herzog.
Yeah.
Of the players we mentioned earlier, former Cardinals that have gone and had success elsewhere, which one do you want back the most? It's the past 5 years or so.
You said of all the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Yeah, former Cardinals like Luke Voigt and
Tommy Pham.
Tommy Pham, yep.
It's Tommy Pham.
Yeah, I would probably be on board with that too.
I like Tommy. I understand the deal. And we had some people who texted in and said they hated it at the time, and because we were talking about that earlier. But I like him. I like his ethic. There are people, though, that are concerned, and rightfully, about his vision. And at some point when that goes away from him, and it could be any time, it could be rapid, it could be a long time before it happens. But as far as his production the last year and a half, you can't argue with it.
And this is a team that at this stage doesn't have much edge. I keep asking people around the ball club, who on that team hates losing? People that are on the club every single day. And they can't tell me anybody who hates losing on that team.
Except Yachty, probably.
Yeah, but I think he's got so much other stuff going on, you know, trying to manage the pitching staff and trying to worry about his own self. I don't know that he goes to the rest of the – I don't think Yachty has ever been a guy that the rest of the clubhouse reflects him.
So at the end of the 2024 season, when Paul Goldschmidt's deal is officially up, what would it take to view that deal as a bust? What has to happen until then?
Part of it will be what Kelly and Weaver do. But if Goldschmidt never produces, if this is the level that he produces at for his entire Cardinals career, then that trade will be a bust.
If it looks like this for the next 3 years, it's a bust. I expected somebody of his age to be a whole lot better this year, the following, and the year after that. And then maybe start to look like this. But if he does this for the next, for the remainder of this season and for the next 2 years, regardless of what those other guys do, I think that's a bust.
I am somewhat concerned. Tell me if you are. When Jason Hayward left here, one of the things that he intimated was that he didn't want to be the man with the Cardinals. Being the man like Albert Pujols was, it's a pretty daunting responsibility with this franchise. Certainly, Paul Goldschmidt doesn't have the personality to be the man. He doesn't want to be out front and, you know, be the guy that the media goes to every night. But I wonder if he has difficulty being the man in the middle of the lineup that is always counted on. Some guys can handle that pressure. Some guys don't want anything to do with it.
Well, on his other team, he was the man in that lineup, but it was Arizona. It was Arizona, mm-hmm. and there were no expectations. Now he's on a team where people expect something of you because you're the Cardinals. You're on a storied franchise and a fan base that is expecting you to get back to the playoffs, and they expect you to be a part of a huge part of getting them back. So I could see that. You know who I think would have no problem being the man?
Who's that?
Manny.
Machado?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he would either.
It'd have been great. Those two guys in the order? Let Manny be the man. You just be quiet, Paul Goldschmidt, and collect your home runs and quietly.
I'm with you.
Okay, guys, this is a personal one here. I got an offer, a text earlier, from a buddy to go on a blind date. It would be a double date, but my date would be blind. Not actually blind. You know. What are the rules with taking a blind date? I feel like I should be a little worried or nervous that it's a blind date that I don't get to know anything.
No, I think, number one, you should be nervous, absolutely, because you're dating somebody that you don't know, but look at it as an opportunity. Don't look at it as something that could be a negative. Go Sunshine Lollipops and go for it, and it's one date. If you are intrigued and she's intrigued, you can have a second date, and if not, you get a meal out of it.
See, because I'm thinking, like, it's going to be somebody who looks like me, and that's just, that's not going to work.
It's kind of like Shrek.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah,
don't worry about that.
Looks like he doesn't look like Shrek,
and she would look like Princess Fiona.
Oh, see, that's lost on me. I've never seen Shrek.
It's amazing.
I know what Shrek looks like.
Shrek.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't a child when it came out.
But 100% go for it, and I'm sure that 100% of the texters 65780 will tell Big Sis go for it.
You are not obligated to do anything. Just go on the date and
have fun. See
whatever happens.
Okay. Deal. We know all about the Blues' power play issues in the playoffs. Do you see them hiring somebody specifically for that this offseason?
They don't know. They're going to talk about it. I asked that question today, and they don't know yet. If I were them, I would, but they don't know yet.
The rest of the coaching staff, though, is coming back.
Yes.
So what are the – and this is something I don't know. What are the rules as far as the amount of coaches you can have in-house? Is there a rule?
I don't think there is a limit in the NHL.
I don't think there is. I had never heard of it.
And they never did replace Berube as an assistant. Right. So they had Ott, they had Van Rijn, Dave Alexander, their goalie coach, and Sean Farrell, the video coach, and that was it. Most teams have at least five.
This texter wants to know if you guys feel like the Cardinals are holding on to something that's just not there. Do you think it's time to blow up the roster and make things uncomfortable and make a point that the lackluster play will not be tolerated?
I don't know. Like we said with Rick Horton, I believe that the Cardinals have good players that just aren't performing at the level that we would expect. I can understand. We're at midseason now. I can totally understand why you think they should blow it up. But I don't think that, no, this is my opinion, when you're talking about blowing up, you're talking about trading good players so that you can strip it down and get a top draft choice. No, I would not do that with this group.
Part of the problem is the Cardinals are the, by average, fifth youngest team in baseball right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to make, how many teams that are that young blow it all up?
Right. The other thing it would do is make you look really stupid for making the Goldschmidt and Ozuna trades. And Voit, for that matter.
That's the problem. I think their issue is if this team isn't good enough, they can't blow it up. There's nothing to blow up.
Yeah.
Your teams that blow it up have a couple of assets on the club that everybody else covets and has to have. For whatever reason, what do they have that's like that?
Yeah. Nothing.
There's not a ton if there's much.
No, you're right. There isn't a lot. But if you wanted to trade Jack Flaherty, you could get a lot for Jack Flaherty tomorrow.
But he's still really young. And if the point is to rebuild and start young, that's...
I think people want to go down to ground zero and not win and get the top pick. That's what I get out of a lot of Cardinal fans. They want to be like Chicago was, like Houston was, like Pittsburgh has been for years, like Kansas City was for years. They want to have 10, 20, 30 years of top 10 picks and then win a World Series then.
Well, if you have 10 years of like what Tampa Bay did, they picked in the top 10 for 10 straight years, and they had four number ones.
Yeah, and then look at all the World Series championships they got out of that.
No, they had good teams, though. And see, that's a separate argument for me, because I think you should give yourself as many cracks at it as possible. You're not going to guarantee a championship, no matter how good your team is. But if you're constantly getting stabs at the playoffs, then that's what you want, because at some point, hopefully it works out.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Coming up, a quick one. We're going to talk a little bit about this Cardinal season with so many surprises and hurdles, things that we thought that we would never say about the Cardinals. Send us a text, leave us a mic drop next on 101 ESPN. All right, things that we thought we'd never say about the Cardinals before the season started. For example, Marcell Ozuna is deserving of a contract extension. Cardinals may or may not give him one, but he deserves one. I don't think he'll get one.
No, I don't think he's going to either. That is interesting, because I wasn't really sure to expect anything like that from him. You know what mine is, though, Randy?
What?
Things I never thought I'd say. I never thought I'd say I don't have a whole lot of confidence when Jack Flaherty pitches.
It's true.
I swear to you, I thought, again, you don't always know when it comes to a young pitcher, but I had felt pretty confident in him that this was going to be a year of growth, and it's possible that still ends up that way. Still got 3 months to go, but so far, not looking good.
Some text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Things I thought I would never say. Is it hockey season yet?
That is something we never, ever heard in the past. Well, actually, no, I guess we did. Maybe once or twice last year. Yep. But we were saying, is it baseball season yet in January?
We were. And remember? Look what happened. Yeah. From the 314, I never thought I would say the Cardinals are okay with losing. I don't think you make the moves that the Cardinals made. You don't give Andrew Miller all that money. You don't give Goldschmidt all that money and be okay with losing. I refuse to believe that that's the approach they're taking. But they certainly aren't building their team in the most intelligent way. I don't believe that Bill DeWitt is okay with losing. But I also think that at some levels, the dominance that they displayed, the reasons for that have passed them by.
You mean Albert Pujols?
Well, that was one of them. But they were able to take advantage of a system in which there wasn't revenue sharing, and teams that couldn't pay those guys wound up trading guys to the Cardinals, whether it was Jim Edmonds with the Angels or Scott Rolen with the Phillies or Daryl Kyle with the Rockies. Teams that didn't want to pay players, McGuire was the first one from the A's. Cardinals were always able to take advantage of that. Now, if you're the Tampa Bay Rays, and, well, let's use the A's, they're in town, and you have Olsen and Chapman, you get revenue sharing, and you can pay those guys and give them long-term extensions. Used to be that if Oakland had a guy, he would trade. Mark Mulder got traded to the Cardinals. Mark McGuire got traded to the Cardinals. They let Zito go. Hudson wound up getting moved. Oakland couldn't afford to keep players.
Right.
Now, the teams like Oakland, Pittsburgh, Tampa that get revenue sharing, they don't have to trade those guys anymore, and the Cardinals have not found the mechanism to acquire great players while being competitive every year.
And it also does not hurt, and I know they won after he was gone, but it does not hurt to luck out into Albert Pujols. I mean, they got a future Hall of Famer. They didn't know that's what he was going to be. I would not say the Cardinals are okay with losing, but I would say they're not uncomfortable with mediocrity, because that's what they've been the last 4 years.
Yep. From the 217, things I never thought I'd say about the Cardinals. Meh. I used to be hanging on every win and loss, but the past few seasons, they've just become meh. Still love them, but my emotion is no longer affected by them. And that is a bad sign for the Cardinals, because meh is leading towards ambivalence. And that's the worst thing that you can have. And that's
apathy.
What mediocrity breeds.
Yep. Apathy is a very bad thing. That's the thing that you would rather have people angry at you than not care at all, one way or the other. That is not where you want to be.
Yep. Things I never didn't think I'd say from the 417. Is Brett Cecil available for the bullpen?
Oh, come on, man.
Well,
yeah, I guess all hands on deck at this point, right?
Yep. From the 314, things I never thought I'd say. The Blues are run better than the Cardinals, and with each passing non-playoff season, this is becoming a hockey town.
Mm.
Especially when the hockey team wins the Stanley Cup.
Well, I guess we could just celebrate the cup for a while then, huh? How about this one from a 314? Maybe it wasn't Matheny's fault.
Well, record-wise, they're right where they were last year.
Yep.
They're playing a lot differently. They're reaching the end result a lot differently than they did last year.
But man,
there's no doubt that the record is right there.
I just, for the most part, I don't care who the baseball manager is. And I think people, we fans, I think everybody kind of overvalues how much the manager will affect what's going on. Look at the bulk of the problem right now. The bulk of the issues that they are having is because guys can't hit and guys can't pitch, and there ain't a damn thing a manager can do about that. All he can do is fill out the lineup and put them out there and hope they do their jobs.
Thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line 65780. Next up, we've got a hot new toy to make every parent go crazy. Those details are next before, with all due respect, on 101 ESPN.